Revelation 19, verse number 11. Verse 11 and verse 14. Revelation 19. So, last thing we looked at, those previous verses, was that there was a marriage supper of the Lamb. So, the saints in heaven during the tribulation period being married to Christ. Amen. And we are right now in a betrothal period. There's a promise, but after the rapture, we go through the judgment seat, Bema seat, and then we're brought up into heaven, and we're joined to Christ, amen, as saints. And if that seems kind of weird to you, I can show you scripturally how all that means, but we're in Christ, amen. And Ephesians 5 talks about that relationship that the saint has with Christ himself, an intimate relationship, proper relationship, amen. And so it's beautiful. So after that joining together takes place, right after that, at the end of the tribulation period, we actually, the Battle of Armageddon is fixing to take place. And so the Lord is going to come back, and we're going to see that we will be with him when he returns. And we're going to begin to look at this, and I do want to spend some time on the Battle of Armageddon. We're not going to do that tonight, but there's a phrase here in the beginning of our text that I thought would be valid to consider this evening. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now, there's a lot in there, and we're going to spend time looking at different aspects of this verse in the weeks coming, but we're going to focus on that first phrase tonight. I saw heaven opened, amen. But what a blessing that Jesus is faithful and true, amen. He is not a liar, and he is always faithful. He's always full of faith. He always says what he means, and he means what he says, amen. And he's not hard to figure out. He's not speaking in code. All these people out there saying, "I cracked the code to this and cracked the code to that." No, he's not. He's not writing in code. If we lack understanding, it's just because our eyes haven't been open to something yet. Amen. But he's not trying to keep his word from us. He wants us to study to show ourselves approved. Now, if you're not one willing to put forth any labor, then you're really not interested in learning his word anyway. We're talking about learning a language. Talk about learning a language. Learn God's language. Amen. Learn how God speaks. Learn how he communicates. Amen. That is a lifelong endeavor because it's just so deep. Amen. Just as intricate and all that a foreign language is. In a sense, God's language is foreign to us. Amen. We weren't able to communicate with God prior to our salvation. He speaks in a holy, righteous format, and we're used to speaking in a fallen, sinful format, amen? A worldly, carnal, the Bible says, carnally minded. Our mind is minded that way. And so learning how God works is a fun process, but we have to engage to do so. But he's faithful, he's true. And then I love what it says here, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That is going to be a fun one to look at, how you can make war in righteousness or by righteous judgment, amen? And so we'll look at that. We're not going to look at that tonight, but just that's coming. And so in the first part of the verse where it says, "And I saw heaven opened," then look at verse number 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And that attire, of course, is indicative of the saints. And of course, we know that we were right there, same context, at the marriage supper. And then, of course, the armies, the peoples, if you will, the large number that are there that are on his side will come with him. It says that we're in heaven and then we follow him. Amen. We're going to look at the thought tonight. I saw heaven open. And this would mean that heaven has a border to it in a sense. Amen. It's not just an open border where you can just come and go. Anybody can come and go. It actually appears to be guarded, amen, who gets in, who in a sense can get out, amen. Even New Jerusalem that is on earth after God recreates the earth, it has controlled access, amen, which is a very interesting concept. There's a reason for that, and that's what we're going to look at tonight, but let's pray first. God, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, for how powerful it is, how wonderful it is, and yet, God, it seems as if we are truly engaged in a lifelong study just to know you better, to understand, Lord, how you speak, why you say what you say, why you made things like you made them, and what we're doing, where we're headed, what we're supposed to be involved in. God, just so much, Lord, it encompasses our life now as believers. And I pray, God, that everyone here tonight is a true believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ. Lord, I pray that each person here has at one point repented of their sin and fully and completely trusted Jesus Christ with the caring of their soul, Lord, for their soul salvation. And Lord, if that isn't the case, Lord, we know at one point they will be found out, Lord. And I pray that that would be sooner rather than later so that they can be born again before it's too late. But Lord, for all of us that are saints tonight, help us to really appreciate the reality that we have access to heaven and that we're going to be there and then leave for a time to come back to earth for this battle that Revelation 19 talks about. But God, help us to consider the access that you refer to in your word concerning heaven tonight. Help us now, I pray. And we'll thank you, God, for what you give us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Look over at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. So Revelation 20, that is going to detail out the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And then towards the latter end of Revelation 20 will be the final judgment of the lost, the great white throne judgment, where death and hell are delivered up and they're judged. And then the outcome of that will be that all those not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, out of darkness, as some passages refer to it. Well, Revelation 21 begins, and it actually details the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And so Peter actually talks about how the elements will melt with a fervent heat. And so there will be a destruction of all matter, if you will, almost like if you've ever been in a scenario where where you have a crucible and you're actually heating that and you're melting down metals and you're taking, you know, different pieces. Could be iron, could be more precious like silver, gold, something like that. But you melt it all down and then, you know, get all that dross off and all that, and then you have that pure metal. And then you make something new out of it. Amen. That's kind of the thought process here with the elements melting, if you will. And there's different things, like the Bible says the new earth won't have any seas. That's really, really interesting. Amen. There'll be different type of earth in a sense. I mean, I believe a lot of things in a sense will be maybe a little similar, but then other things won't be. And we really don't know exactly what it's going to be like. Hey, maybe it'll have a little bit higher oxygen content. Amen. Just that might be good for those on earth. But who knows? But anyway, there's going to be some differences. But the Bible does give details about the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem will be the place that we dwell. That'll be our home. And there's some interesting details about that. Look at Revelation 21 and in verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither. So, of course, this is that a couple. We see the different angels from the vials that were leading John around and showing him these things. And he leads him here and says, come hither to John. He says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city. Now, keeping in mind, this is great and high mountain on new earth. Amen. Because at the beginning of the chapter, you say, well, where's that mountain? Well, it ain't been created yet. It's not been formed yet anyway. Amen. And so great and high mountain. And it says he carried me to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of peace, descending out of heaven from God. Earth is created, and then God from heaven descends out from it, this city, and rests it upon, some would even say just over, the earth on a very high mountain on new earth. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall, it's interesting, a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. Remember we talked about some of the different cities, like Nineveh in Assyria had a 100-foot high wall around the whole city. It was wide enough for three chariots to drive abreast around the top of that thing and guard it. 100-foot in the air way back in ancient times. Is that crazy? That is almost like they could build back there, maybe a little better than we can today. I don't know. Amen? But that is interesting. But I would understand the reason for the capital of Assyria with all their enemies. I would understand the reason to have a nice high wall. Amen? And I've asked the question to some, and no one really knows. Necessarily, I don't know. We could speculate. Why do we need a wall? New heaven, new earth, sins dealt with. All sinners are cast in the lake of fire. Devil's locked up, amen. He's cast in the lake of fire. Beast, the false prophet, those are all gone. Death is destroyed. No more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more flesh. All three enemies are gone. And we got a wall. Amen. Interesting. I don't have an answer for you. It's just interesting. Amen. Very interesting. A high wall. And had 12 gates. Amen. By the way, Jerusalem had 12 gates. Amen. And at the gates, 12 angels. There's guards. We have a high wall. We have gates. And we have angels guarding the gates. And it says, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, almost like a cube, it looks like. Or at least maybe a pyramid, amen. When you have the dimensions like that, the base the same, and then the height, it could be a pyramid structure or a cube. Interesting. It says the length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits. 144 cubits, that's like 200-foot high wall. Amen. Depending on what a cubit is in that day. According to the measure of man, amen, that is as of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I mean, we got a lot to look forward to. I don't know about you, but man, this right here, this is worth the price of admission right here, amen. And don't worry, Christ paid it. So it's worth it. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished. By the way, other alternatives, burning lake of fire, amen. You choose, amen. But anyway, let's see here. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, I think. The 11th of jacinth, the 12th and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And man, that'd be a big clam, amen. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So God, the Lamb, Christ, dwell in this new Jerusalem with us. Amen. Very interesting. With the walls, with the gates, and with the guards. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. He truly is the light of the world. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. There are some interesting things talked about in the latter end of Revelation, and I don't fully understand exactly how everything's going to work, but people that say, I don't know what we're going to do for all eternity. Well, God has a plan, amen. And there's going to be a whole lot going on, amen. A whole lot going on, and it's going to be rather glorious, amen. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Now, you have to ask the question, will there be things around that could? That's a really good question. I'm just saying there are walls, there are gates, though open, but there are guards. And the Bible does say that nothing is going to enter into it that defileth. Now, originally that would have been heaven, right? In a sense. And then, of course, we know that that sin has now affected heaven because Satan has been allowed to go there. And we know that's going to be destroyed. Earth, heaven are all going to be destroyed and recreated. But we find in this particular context that the New Jerusalem on earth, nothing will be allowed to enter that would defile, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. By the way, which means we won't be defiled, we won't work abominations, and we won't be liars.
Amen.
In our glorified state. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Amen. We won't have the capacity to at that point.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're thinking, well, that'd be boring, well, go to hell then. And that might sound frank. That's your option. That's the option. I mean, if you don't like glorifying God, singing praises to his name, being pure, being right, not fornicating, smoking dope and carousing and all that, if you don't like all that, I mean, if you want to do those things, that ain't going to be heaven.
Right.
It ain't going to be any of that. If you like lying, cheating, stealing, telling, you know, stories on people, getting people in trouble, putrid jokes and immorality. If you like all that, hell's the place for you. Amen. Now, you won't enjoy it, right? But that's okay. That's where people like you go.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But then there's the rest of us who are looking forward to this.
Amen.
We're looking forward to the day that we could say bye to our wretched flesh and say bye to sin and say bye to all the heartache and the disease and sickness and sorrow and death, saying bye to all that and be in a place that only dwells righteousness.
Mm. Amen.
But this is that place. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. All right. So all that to say, just note here that when John saw the heavens open, Christ descending, the saints coming with, the thought there that I wanted to kind of explore was the fact that heaven opened, that there was in a sense, an opening so that then the entourage could depart, just like there is an opening whenever someone's going to enter, that heaven is not just accessible to anyone that wants to wander in the southern border.
Right.
Heaven is not like that. You can't just be a thief and break through or climb up some wall some other way. Heaven is not like that. It's controlled access. God controls in and out. Amen? And this is true throughout the Word of God. And we have to understand that. Now, we live in a day that nobody likes this thought, this exclusivity, where you mean to tell me that if I get in, I only get in if God lets me in? That's exactly right. Amen? That's exactly right. That's what the Bible declares and testifies of in reference to his creation, his heaven. Amen? But there's a couple other places on earth that have been testified by Scripture that there's access to heaven. Amen? Look over at Genesis chapter 28, just very quickly, a couple of these tonight. There's just a few. And access to heaven. Oh, to have access to heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place, amen, full of glory and grace, amen. That song is so beautiful, amen. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is it wonderful? Yeah, I'm trying to think if it's marvelous. It is a marvelous place, amen, but it's a wonderful place, amen, but it's not for all. Heaven is not a place that everybody will be granted access to, amen. It's just not. And so it's incumbent for us to realize this and to understand that not everybody will have the opportunity to go to heaven. Now, I believe if you desire to see it and you're willing to come God's way, we all have that opportunity to see it. But not everybody is going to get to experience heaven, nor New Jerusalem as we just looked at. But even New Jerusalem on earth after the recreation of heaven and earth and all that, even then there's controlled access to New Jerusalem. It sure does seem like God is about access. He's about controlling access, what we get to do, what we get to be a part of, what we are enabled, just like in ministry. Just because you want to be a preacher doesn't mean you're going to be a preacher. Just because you want to be a song leader doesn't mean you're going to be a song leader. Just because you want to be a missionary doesn't mean you're going to be a missionary. Desiring these things is good to desire, amen? But God is the one that puts people in these places and in these positions, amen? And we just have to understand that. By the way, just because you want to go to heaven doesn't mean you're going.
Right.
You say, do you want to go to heaven? Well, sure. Let's see, what's the choice? Heaven? Hell. Well, yeah, unless you're like off your rocker a little bit, amen. Who in the world want to go to hell? But the reality is that broad is the way that leads to destruction,
right?
That's reality. And so we have to speak on this as if it's reality. The majority of people today on earth are headed to hell.
Right.
I don't say that I'm happy about it. No, I'm sad about that. But that's reality. That's reality. It's not that they couldn't get access. It's that they're not willing. It's that they're unwilling. Amen? Genesis 28, verse 12. Jacob saw a ladder. And it actually was, in his dream, a gateway between heaven and earth for the angels. It says, and he dreamed in verse number 12, Genesis 28. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. That's a long ladder. Amen.
Amen.
And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Why do you suppose? He's the gatekeeper. Amen. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in the places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of. And Jacob awake out of sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, that'd be a heart pillow, amen, and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And anyway, praise the Lord. What an interesting thing that he got to see there. Vision, yes, God spoke to him though. And God doesn't just show things just you know. I mean, these things have meaning. But it shows that there are angels that are able to go back and forth. And this, the image that was given there was actually a path, if you will, a ladder, a place to travel one from the other. But it wasn't just anybody that could travel that path. It was the angels that God would allow to go back and forth between heaven and earth in that day. So again, just showing that there are some that are granted access to leave and then come. There are granted access from heaven to earth. Now, you do realize we are on earth.
Amen.
But we need to get to heaven. Tower of Babel, they tried to build a tower to heaven. They tried to build a tower, and I believe what they were building was something of a, I almost want to say New Age. It's more like a mystery, Babylonian mystery religion, where through the stars, through witchcraft, through just all kinds of stuff like that, they were trying to reach heaven. There's a lot of people trying to reach heaven today, a whole lot of other ways, amen? Through all kinds of religions, through meditation, through all kinds of things. People are trying to reach heaven. But the Bible doesn't say you gain access that way. Amen. There is a way to get there, but it's not via Tower of Babel. God proved that. It's not through these other means. There is a way to heaven. And you need to get off this island. Well, you can, amen. And that's going to be through Christ, amen, where you'll gain access to heaven. And you say, well, that's an interesting way to put it. That's reality. This earth Global warming, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get so hot here that it's going to melt with the fervent heat. That's what the Bible says. Say, do you believe in global warming? I believe in global meltdown, amen. Total meltdown, that's what I believe in, because the Bible says it, amen. I don't believe we can stop that from happening, by the way, but that's what's going to happen. Job, in chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. We see, have seen how, and I believe to this day, Satan has access to somewhere in heaven. Now, a lot of times in we see with city structures and all that in archaeological things, as well as from the Bible, like looking at with Lot and the city there, there would be like a group of like elder men that would sit at the gate. Oftentimes they would be the judges that they would adjudicate things, but they would also receive people coming in. They wouldn't just let anybody into their city. They would vet them and find out who they are. And so this is an interesting thing. It's almost like the devil does have access to go talk to God and all that, but I don't think he has just free access into all the different areas of heaven, amen? But he does have access to gain communication, talk to him along those lines. But he will be cast out. There will come a day, as we read in Revelation 12, 7 through 13, that even that limited access will be cut off. It's like if you've ever been working for a big company, I know John knows all about this, you have these little swipe, these cards, and you swipe it at the door, hold it up there, whatever, and the door opens and all that. I know at ATA, your card determined which doors you could get in. I'm sure it's the same way there. You only have access to the areas you need to be. Well, Satan's access, very limited, but he still had access to heaven for particular purposes. In this case, in dealing with Job, remember, he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us, God's people before God, night and day. He's constantly up there lobbying for our destruction. But he has access for now. But Revelation 12 talks about how that access will be removed. Stephen's an interesting one in Acts 7. He actually says that he saw heaven open and then was received up into it. That's pretty cool. I wonder different people on their deathbed experiences and all that. By the way, I've been able to sit by a number of people that have died. And boy, is there a big difference between those that are saved and those that are lost. I hate sitting by the bedside of someone that's dying that's lost. Ah, it's horrible. Torment. Anxiety, fear. They crouch up in their bed. They're trying to get away from something. It's horrible. Horrible. On the other side, I've sat beside many that were born again when they passed, and it's beautiful. Some I've even seen them open their eyes and look up and just start smiling. And it's not some euphoric thing because of medicine. It's just we're spiritual beings, amen? And this isn't all there is. By the way, if you're not sure about that, why do you dream? If we're just some random whatever, why do you dream? What is that? Can you answer what a dream is if we're just happened because of the Big Bang and evolved from a bird? And who knows where the bird came from? If that's all we are, I'm serious. If we just happen to develop a heart that pumps blood about the same time our respiratory side also developed, I mean, that's just insane. But if you really believe that we're no different than a rock, why do we dream? I was at the tent. We were taking the tent down a couple weeks back, and I was in the tent trailer putting some stuff up, and I looked down. Do you ever have one of those moments you're like, oh, man, I remember this. I dreamt this. Man, that's weird. How'd that happen if you're not spiritual? If you're just, how's that happen? How's that happen when you're vitally connected to people and you're like, man, I need to call so-and-so right now. I need to pray for so-and-so right now. Where's that? What is that? We're spiritual beings, aren't we? How do you account for that? You better account for that. Amen? And so when we start looking at these things, there's heaven to gain and hell to shun. There really is. And we find in the Bible all these different spots where we can see where, here's Stephen, look at this. Acts 7, verse 56. And said, behold, this is Stephen, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord, he stood up, amen, when all this was going on with Stephen. Then they cried out with a loud voice. This was all the people he was just preaching to, the council there, they hated him. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, this was Stephen calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. His flesh fell asleep, and he was absent from the body, and he was present with the Lord. Amen. He saw the heavens opened, and he was transported. See, how was he transported? The vehicle, from what I can tell, is called Jesus. Amen. And so, praise the Lord, there's some crazy names out there for vehicles. But the one I'm looking forward to riding to heaven, it's actually a Jesus mobile. Amen. And that's going to be exciting. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, real quick, verse number 11. Elijah got to ride on God's personal chariot. You look over at these different kings and princes and all that in Saudi Arabia, and they have these gold-plated, you know, Lamborghinis and all that. They ain't nothing. Elijah got to ride on God's private flaming chariot.
Amen.
Amen. And it took him from earth to heaven, nonstop. Amen. Hallelujah. What a ride that would have been. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 2:11. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind where? Into heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? He went from earth to heaven. And I bet he was moving. Amen. I bet he was just gone. Amen. Hallelujah. That on fire. He was on fire. The chariot wasn't the horses. Amen. As he was transported in that vehicle right on into heaven. Right on into heaven. Amen. Man, that's exciting. See, reading the Bible is not all that exciting. I don't know what Bible you're reading. Amen. You need to get yourself a King James Bible. Amen. Because this one's exciting. Heaven is the place of God's dwelling and throne. Access to heaven is controlled by God. Man's passage today from here to heaven is truly via our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Real quickly, 2 Corinthians 5, 6. So how are we going to get there? The Lord. That's how we're going to get there. That's how everybody gets there. And there's a couple of passages real quick on this, and then we'll be finished. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather. We're confident and we're willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wait a second. Where's the body at? Where's our bodies? On earth. Where's the Lord? He's in heaven. The Bible clearly says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven. Where was he when Stephen saw the heavens open? Where was the Lord? He was right there. So our body is on earth. The Lord is in heaven. And we are confident. We are confident. And by the way, I can't jump high enough. There's no man-made vehicle to get me there. But I am confident that when it's my time to go, the transportation mechanism of God will be in place instantaneously. Amen. To take me from here to there.
Amen.
That's what this passage says. We're confident. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted. Even matter what, we're just going to work for him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look at John 14. Very well-known passage, but I want to connect something there very quickly, verses 1 through 6. John 14, verses 1 through 6. I don't know exactly. I don't believe that we're going to board a chariot of fire. I just don't have that in Scripture, although Elijah did. Praise the Lord for that. Enoch, it just says the Lord took him. It doesn't say anything more than that. But he was transported from earth to heaven. It just doesn't say the vehicle. Stephen, absolutely, he saw the heavens open. He saw the Lord. He was dead, and then his spirit absolutely rose and went to glory. His body was put in the ground. And so we see these over and over and over in the Scripture. But one thing is true, it's consistent, is we're on earth, the Lord is in heaven, and once we die, if you're born again, you go from earth to heaven. This is consistent in the Scripture. Jesus said this to his disciples here in John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. By the way, a lot of people are troubled about dying. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. I got eternal life when I got saved. Amen. And so my time on earth doesn't mess with that at all. It's eternal. Amen. No matter where the backdrop is, no matter where I'm at, I will now always be, and the Lord will always keep me. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I mean, I don't know exactly how we're taken there, but I know it's by and through Jesus Christ. Now, whether him personally or personally ushered by his angels, specifically working for him on that regard, either way, he is the mechanism by which we make it to glory. Amen. Because he's promised. He says that if it were not so, if I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And we know Christ is omnipresent. That would not be a hard task for him to personally accomplish that work, himself. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That what that means is the way we get from here to there is by Jesus Christ. He is the way.
Amen.
He is the mechanism. No man gets from here to there without him. Amen. He is the way. We need Jesus. He's the vehicle. Jacob saw a ladder, provided access to heaven for God's angels. God sent his chariot to pick up Elijah, bring him into heaven. Stephen saw the heaven open, and I'm sure his Savior then provided him passage, because this, of course, after the resurrection and all that happened there, so I'm sure same time frame that we're in today. Heaven is a place with limited access. Amen? With limited access. Lastly, let's look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. You might be wondering, yeah, but I still don't know exactly how we're going to get there. Sure you do. Jesus. He's taken it upon himself to be your own personal shuttle. He will get you there. He will shuttle you from here to there. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That means to be made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you're lost today, that's still you. If you're saved today, that's who you were. Amen. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The reality is this. If you're a born-again believer, you already have access to heaven. You are already seated in heavenly places. And as you have need, we come boldly before the throne of God. And we obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. We already have that heavenly access. Now the transportation side, that's going to be taken care of when your flesh is no longer able to habitate life and your time is up. It's appointed a man wants to die. And so once that time is up, you will then be absent from the body. And when that happens, Christ will usher you to the place you're already familiar with and have spent much time there, as you've already talked to your Lord and spent time in prayer and have meditated upon the precepts of the Word of God and these things that we have here. We've already been there in spirit. One day we will be there also in body, soul, and spirit. Of course, after the rapture, receive a glorified body. Praise the Lord. It is sure a good thing to know that I will never be left stranded on planet Earth.
Amen.
Amen. All these little movies, you know, oh no, the oxygen content's dropping, we got to get off this planet, blah, blah, blah. No. I will never be stranded on planet Earth because I have the promise of God and He has the vehicle to take me off this planet before I can be destroyed. And I'll be ushered into His presence in heaven. And then I'm not exactly sure where we're going to be kind of kept while heaven and earth are being recreated. But I think we'll get to watch it all. Amen. Sit back in God's observatory. Amen. As we get to sit back and watch God recreate the heaven and the earth. And then we get to watch our own God-designed New Jerusalem as He takes that whole big city there, rests that on a high mountain on the new earth. And then He takes us by the hand and shows His bride as our new digs. Amen. That's amazing. That's what the Bible talks about. I just want you to know tonight, according to Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open. Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him. This is not our permanent resting place. We will die. We will go to heaven. I say die. Our bodies will die. We will go to heaven. We will forever be with the Lord. Amen. We have a tremendous future that awaits. I am excited about it. I hope you are as well. But just want to give you that thought tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for what you've given. Lord, what an encouraging thing it is to consider what you have been preparing for us that are your people. God, sometimes when it gets really dark here and really troublesome, and Lord, when issues pile up and we look around and we see all kinds of things that just trouble us, God, in one sense, it sure is good just to look into the Word of God and focus on what you have in store for us. I know you love us. I know you care for us. I know that there's not been a temptation that will take us, that you will not enable us to endure. God, you are going to get us through. We're not appointed under wrath, but to obtain salvation. And God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as needed, to consider the fact that, God, we have access to heaven. Not everyone can say that, but we do if we're saved tonight. But Lord, might there be someone here tonight that doesn't have access because they've not been born again. Oh, what a tormenting thought that would be. But God, I thank you that you didn't make salvation hard, but it does require that we're willing to repent and by faith believe what Jesus Christ has done to save our souls, the work done on the cross, the resurrection, that we might be delivered, born again, saved from our sin, having our sin washed away through the blood of Christ. It does take belief in your word. God, help us tonight, I pray, to consider these things. I pray in Jesus' name.